Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the show today. Hope you had a great weekend. It is Monday, April 28th, 2014. You know, this could have been the last nice, cool day that we had really yesterday before the summer heat begins, and it was just so delightful after the winds finally blew out of here and the morning actually kind of chilly. Yesterday and today, but turned out to be a lovely Sunday in Tucson, Arizona, or wherever you are. I hope you had a great weekend. We are live streaming our show. It's very easy to hear this program. You don't have to be listening necessarily to the radio. You can be on your computer and just go to BuckmasterShow.com or KVOI.com, and you live stream the show right there on the internet. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere. Rose is wonderful about this. She posts the program within minutes, really.
Well, Rose is wonderful,
isn't
anyway.
She? Well, thank you, John, for this is kind of Rose's admiration society.
Yes, yes.
Here in
she
the,
does a great
in the
job
next studio.
Producer,
she's
yeah.
got a huge smile on her face, but she does deserve it. And you can find the program at BuckmasterShow.com. We've got the podcasts, and just a new friend came on board, Vince and John, today, who listens to the show over in Orvieto, Italy.
Oh.
So we thank all of our overseas listeners. I know we've got friends in Australia, New Zealand, the Azores, where I will be in a couple of weeks, actually.
Molto bene, molto bene.
As part of a trip to Lisbon that we're going to be doing in May. So we're really all over the place, which is really nice. Monday, it's the political face-off. The two gentlemen with me in studio today, seated to my left, Vince Robago, and seated to my
way
right.
Way to the left.
And John Munger seated to my right.
Very far.
Vince,
I can hardly see him.
Go.
So far
you're,
right.
You're opening. There you go. To come on in. There you go. The Monday political face-off featuring John Munger and Vince Robago is brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe is really hard at work right now, laboring over the Buckmaster mirrors for the bathrooms. Those are I can't wait to see them. Supposed to be installed this week. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging surfaces, and hanging systems. And Moe will be doing the hanging for our household. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell & Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. John Munger is a Tucson attorney. He's the former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents. He was a Republican candidate in 2010 for Arizona governor. And Vince Robago is a longtime Democrat, I guess you could, yeah, activist.
Sure.
Sure.
Volunteer. Civic volunteer.
Party faithful. Anyway, how was the weekend for you? I know we're going to hear about John's horse in a minute, but Vince, how about you?
It was a great weekend, of course, with the family and, doing all the regular weekend things.
And I keep posted on your Facebook page and John's. I know that you and Christy and the kids, and I know what you are up to, and it's usually a lot of fun on the weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You're probably watching all the Little League scores and the softball games and all of that fun stuff.
And when it comes to Mr. Munger's Facebook, I've been very concerned about his horse.
Yeah, my horse Mago, which means sorcerer.
What the heck happened?
Well, he was out in the ring. Fortunately, I wasn't on his back when this happened, but he was out running. I'd turned him out, and he came around a corner and caught his hoof and went down on his chest and his nose.
Oh, no.
And there was a skid mark of 12 feet. Now, think of a 1,200-pound horse skidding 12 feet. But he's a little confused now. And
jeez.
Tore up his chest pretty bad. The doc's taking care of him, and he's going to be in good shape. It's going to take a while.
Wow,
he's a great horse.
What do they do for an animal that's in that kind of trouble?
Well, he's got antibiotics and penicillin and the whole deal.
Is he down there with the vet, or do you?
He's
have
the
him
vet's
back
with
home?
Him as we speak. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know you're very concerned about it, and you posted on Facebook, and I was worried about the horse, but it sounds like he's
thank God I wasn't on his back.
Oh, my
I'd be dead.
Goodness. Yeah, you really would. And I know you love to ride horses, and of course Jeff Rogers, our friend, who also comes on the show, posts his kind of horse stuff. He's usually out there riding.
Yeah, he rides. He rides quite a bit.
Yeah, Jeff's a big rider.
Yeah. Anyway, coming up on 12:10, let's ask the Buckmaster Show listeners right now. Would you be inclined to vote for a candidate who is pushing a hiking the minimum wage? And lots of candidate or lots of people would. 58% Vince Robigo in the Wall Street Journal NBC News poll found that people would be more likely to vote for a candidate who supports raising the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour, while 29% would be less likely. Well, I mean, this is a campaign issue.
Well, you know, it is and it isn't. I mean, it is because it's, in my view, it's the right thing to do. I think people who are out there paying attention to their pocketbooks and to reality know that it needs to be raised. And that's why they say they'll support it. Where I say that it isn't is that you rarely see that as an issue being pushed by campaigns and by candidates as like as their issue. You just don't see that much traction. It's not one of those sort of sexy issues that seems to grab the attention and be, you know, as a platform sort of an issue. So I think it's critical. I do believe voters consistently, and that's not the only poll. I know they've done a lot of polling, and those numbers, even higher numbers, I've seen people see that as a positive, good thing to support. But I don't see that many candidates on either side of the political spectrum, whether it's Republican or Democrat, talking about that. Although they should be, in my view.
Well, Republicans say, John Munger, it will cause jobs to be lost.
Well,
this could be a real killer to the economy.
Well, yeah, the Congressional Budget Office, which I think everybody acknowledges is relatively neutral. Sometimes we like their numbers, sometimes we don't. But their numbers project that we're going to lose, if we do that, we'll lose 500,000 jobs across the country.
Yeah, that's what I saw in this Wall Street Journal article. They were talking about a half million jobs.
Half million jobs lost. I think what we need to understand is that the about 2.9% of the population, as I understand it, would be affected by a minimum wage increase. A minimum wage is not intended to be a long-term pay. It's supposed to be a starting deal. We already have something in the range of a 25% unemployment rate in our for our kids. And basically what you're doing is you're pricing out of the market all of those young people who want to have a job, maybe to go to college, do whatever, maybe to work in the summer, but they can't get a job. We're pricing them out of the market, which means that we're going to have increasing numbers of people coming up generation after generation who haven't had that first starting job. They haven't had that
entry-level
job.
Why are they not getting the starting job? Because these are people now that are using that as a permanent wage.
They're using it as a permanent wage. And that shows up, incidentally, in the jobs numbers that just came out today showing that that of the jobs that have been so-called created in the during the Obama years, and incidentally, we're still not up to the number of jobs that we had out in the market before Obama took office. We're still not back to where the starting point. But 44% of those jobs that have been created are low-wage jobs. So and what's happening is that's a very heavy percentage. Mm-hmm. And so we're creating increasingly a disparity between not only the middle class and everybody else, the wealthier,
but you're saying a permanent
we're also
underclass.
We're creating a permanent underclass, doesn't work.
Well, let me explain why those policies of pushing the minimum wage do not do that. The reality is, if you look at what the minimum wage is, and if we had kept the minimum wage consistent with inflation of the dollar, it would be even in the 70s. From looking at today, we're looking at a minimum of at least a $10.70 minimum wage.
So we're way underpaying
at seven, folks.
What are we, and, seven, cor- seven,
correct. We're way underpaying.
725.
And so if you were to actually keep consistent and go up to where it ought to be, it actually kept pace even back to 2 years ago is the numbers I most recently looked at, 2012. The minimum wage would be about $17.40.
Wow.
Now what this tells you about our economy is that employers have been underpaying workers as workers have become more productive in all fields. Now, the other aspect about this,
no.
about the
no,
CBO report, the CBO report, let me talk about that since John brings that up. What the CBO report doesn't tell you is that those employers that are paying the least they can pay exploitative jobs, those exploitation type jobs, maybe some of those are going to disappear, but they're going to go to other places. Mm-hmm. So the numbers
that
you
that
see,
b-
other people will hire them. It's called creative destruction in employment. You've never heard of that term, John? It's called market efficiencies, and those that are essentially once they're not able to exploit
other jobs,
once they're not able to exploit the workplace and exploit these people that are already being underpaid, they will go to other jobs. Now,
let me
address. You got quite a bit of time to talk about this.
Okay.
When you do this and you add this slight increase in minimum wage, you're going to lift 25 million people out of poverty. Number two, you are going to stimulate the economy. And let me end with this last point. Over 600 economists, seven of them whom are Nobel laureates, have signed on to their research and to a letter saying that the minimum wage does not impact, has no discernible impact on jobs. What it does have in terms of losing jobs, you're going to have this market destruction like we talked about, that small percentage. But in the end, what you're going to see is you're going to see less turnover. Because there are so few jobs, these people are relying on this as their lifeline. So you're going to see less turnover in that sense. And you're going to bring people back to a point where they're getting paid a fair wage.
And
over 70 years of studies have shown
this. All right, John says there's no jobs.
Let me mention
real quickly before we take a break here.
Warren Buffett has said we shouldn't raise the minimum wage.
And he's wrong.
To that level. What you're talking about here is almost a 50% increase in the minimum wage in a time when business is already struggling to create jobs. Now, let me tell you what the real answer is. The real answer is let's create jobs. If you go to North Dakota, do you know what a trainee gets paid for trainees positions in North Dakota where we have an economy that works up there?
Yeah, everybody's – it's full employment
$17
there.
An hour for a trainee.
The
answer
oil.
Isn't to try to get the government in and legislate a good economy. The answer is let's have a good economy. And it's clear to me, and I think it's clear to most people, that all the government does is try to manage the economy. They're going to cost – yeah, some people are going to make more money. And some people are going to lose their job. And there aren't any other jobs, Vince. The right answer is let's create an economy. How do you create an economy? You try to make it possible for employers who are barely existing today, barely surviving today, to be able to expand and create more business. You don't do that by taxing them and making that more expensive to hire employees. You just don't do that.
We're going to have to
That's
take
stupid.
A break. All right. Vince, can you hold?
Sure. I'll just say you just can't let jobs or employers keep exploiting workers. That's really what this is all about.
That's hype.
Figures prove it.
Rose, I think I'll read this, try to paraphrase what this caller said, and then we'll take the break and come back and talk some more about this. The caller said that raising the minimum wage will not raise the standard of living for most Americans.
That's right.
That, in fact, more money coming into Americans' hands will just be more taxes paid out to politicians who don't manage our money properly already. That is the comment from one of the listeners who did not want to go on the air, but I think we kind of paraphrased it for you.
I bet you they're not making minimum wage either.
Okay. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Friday, or what, Friday, Monday, Political Face-Off.
Wow.
widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAMobility.com or Facebook. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger and Vince Robigo, two of our favorite commentators. Well, all of our commentators are our favorite commentators.
Thank you for admitting that, Bill. I appreciate that.
No, you're all.
He gave it to you and then he took it back.
Yeah, I took it back.
Moe's Gallery, it in front of us.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook presents the Monday Political Face-Off. This minimum wage thing, I think, Vince, you were next to the plate. You had a comment.
Well, all I was going to say is
because John was citing North Dakota,
where virtually
there are no job. I mean, everybody's working.
And as you pointed out, they're paying McDonald's employees $20 an hour
if you want to go up to North Dakota and work for McDonald's.
There you go. And the difficulty with using that as an example, though, as I mentioned off air a moment ago, is that they have the big oil boom there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's not something that's happening everywhere. You can't use that as an example. I'm happy for those folks that are there. They're getting paid higher than what they ought to be. But, if you looked at this as just pegged to inflation. But let me just I'll just end it with this. I know you want to talk a little bit about immigration. But if you look at the dollar and you look at what people were being paid in the 70s and you track what the value of the dollar is, what we're saying ultimately is that employers cannot – pay the equivalent of what they paid 40 years ago. They refuse to. So because you see, they're making that money. They're just not paying it to their employers.
They can't stay in business, Vince.
Some can't, nor should they be if they're exploiting workers.
Oh, I see. So you'd rather have them go out of business than
these people are exploiting the workers.
Sure. If the employer goes out of business because he has to pay higher.
If you're exploiting your workers, then you should pay your workers.
I don't think that paying the minimum wage is exploiting your workers. I think that my example with North Dakota was that the way to create wealth for everybody is to get the economy working. Yes, it's true. North Dakota is in a unique situation. But the point is, overregulation and making it difficult for employers to employ makes it impossible for the rest of the states to get to the position where they would be like North Dakota, where they have a booming economy. We need a booming economy. And that's what people don't get. You cannot legislate a booming economy. You have to get out of the way. Nobody, incidentally, I hear this all the time from radical leftists, and they say, well, you're saying we'll just let it be unregulated. Nobody is saying we don't need some regulations. Nobody's saying we don't need some taxes. Sure we do. But over-regulations, over-taxation has gotten to the point where it is very difficult to start a business. I just was telling you before during the break, one of my daughters called.
She's in
her early 40s. She said, Dad, I just did my taxes. She said, I'm paying 60% of my income to vary. Now, she's in California.
Let's not drive this debate through anecdote. Let's talk about the 25 million people that would be lifted out of poverty.
What you're doing,
did you read the congressional budget report that you just cited? That's what it says, John.
Well,
that's
all,
what it says.
So all that
so,
all
so you
that,
want to cite selectively
Vince,
when you don't want
all
to
that means
take,
is
take
that
into account all
you've
the facts.
Artificially set what the poverty level is. All you're going to do is create a permanent underclass of people.
You don't think that's been created over the last 30, 40
years? Let me finish, please. You're creating a permanent underclass of people who will not be able to get those starting jobs. Those starting jobs, you want to make permanent jobs, and you're going to now have no place for a person to start.
That's already happened, John. That's why you're misconstruing what our economy
it
is.
And it's going to get
there's a substantial portion of our economy.
Right, it's going to get worse, Vince.
Before we wrap it up, we do want to go to the live line because we had a couple of people who really would like to talk about this, and we'd love to hear them here in the remaining couple of minutes on the Facebook. Richard will be up first. Go ahead, Richard.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Sure.
Not to be a broken record because I always harp about NAFTA, but both of these parties, Republicans and the Democrats, have no ground to stand on whatsoever. They sold our jobs out. They sold out the middle class of America to all these third world slave labor nations. And you know what, Vince and John? a lot of people think you guys committed treason by doing the NAFTA thing. Yeah, I didn't say that word, but you'll sure see it out there.
Okay.
And you guys have heard us. You've become professional liars.
Well, all right, Richard.
Well, let me respond to that.
Okay.
You know, people get mixed up, and I respectfully think Richard is confused. They talk about NAFTA, and then they talk about all the jobs that have gone to Asia. Well, we don't have a free trade agreement with the Asian countries. So, we're losing some jobs with countries we don't have free trade agreements with. But we have not lost a significant number of jobs to Mexico or certainly to Canada. Yes, we've lost jobs to China, with whom we don't have a free trade agreement. We've lost jobs to places like Thailand, etc. But those are places where we don't have free trade agreements. They're apples and oranges.
And let me just add on, Richard, I respect your view. I actually supported NAFTA way back when. I have changed my mind on that. So I agree with you, Richard, to the extent that I believe NAFTA was not good for the economy of the United States. Mm-hmm. It was even worse for our neighbors, particularly in rural Mexico, displacement of their corn, agrarian subsistence lifestyle, farming, sent huge waves of people into having no ability to compete and moved north. Mm-hmm. So there was an impact on the labor market in terms of immigration. I don't think it was that great of an idea afterwards. And I don't believe I'm in favor of the new TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement.
We're a little bit over, but we're going to go a little bit over. Rick Grinnell is with us. Hi, our friend Rick Grinnell. Rick would like to weigh in on this. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, good afternoon,
hey,
my
Rick.
Friend. A couple things. You know, in Arizona, we have an automatic minimum wage increase that kicks in every year. And the hospitality business particularly has absorbed the extended cost on this every year, and we keep getting excited about new restaurants opening, but we forget about how many are closing long-time local establishments that can't keep pace with the labor force, the cost of labor, number one. Number two, setting minimum wage basis, and somebody said it earlier, it's an entry-level opportunity, and if we resort to that as trying to use minimum wage increases as a way of stepping out outside of our slowly economy recovery, we're missing the reality is every time government imposes one rule or another, what we're doing is increasing the cost of doing business. It reduces our opportunities to compete internationally with China and other countries that are figured out that, you know what, the less we put into the government part of this issue, the more the private enterprise will kick in.
Okay,
and
Rick.
The greatest part of this country's economy occurred during the Industrial Revolution in the 50s when the government was realized we need to let the private sector kick in.
Okay, thank
That's
you,
right, Rick.
Okay, John. And Vince, Vince one?
Well, I stand by the numbers that I've talked about earlier. We're trying to make this is not a question of just over-regulation and framing it in that way. The reality is employees are not getting paid the same value of the dollar that they should be. Employers are still making that money.
So let's create a great economy.
And let's do it by lifting those out of poverty. And a rising tide raises all boats. And that's the reality of it.
Yeah, and the problem, Vince, with that is you say
age.
On the one hand, let's create a greater economy. Okay. And the next thing you do is something to kill business.
Let me just say last 10 seconds. The facts have not borne it out. Look at the CBO studies. Look at the economists. Every time they raise the minimum wage, it does not kill the jobs the way that they say
They've never raised it 50% before, Vince.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. John Munger. John, I hope you have a great week. Hope the horse is better, okay?
Thank you.
And Vince, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Check it out. We thank Moe for sponsoring every Monday the Monday Political Face-Off.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, "Hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. April is Earth Month at UA Biosphere 2, where every weekend in April experience programs that will inspire a better understanding of our world. Weekend themes include the Weather, Ocean, Energy, and Earth Day weekend, where special hands-on activities and live animals will be featured. Also new and just opened are the exciting Ocean and Rainforest Gallery exhibitions. Both of these fascinating immersion projects are open daily. More at b2science.org. Visit Biosphere 2 today.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit CoxBusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Well, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:38 on this Monday afternoon. Rosemary Brandt, our producer, working frantically on the other side of the glass. David Safir joins us now. David is our blogger beat guy. We like to go to David
Once a month, he's one of our contributors. The full list is at buckmastershow.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing well and want to say hi to Rosemary as well in the booth. She's getting a lot of press
It's
today.
Rosemary Day.
Yeah, it
well,
is.
It's like be good to your producer day. I don't know if that's
I went
a
and gave her a little bit of a hug when
there
I came
you go.
In.
I mean,
heard you talking about her.
We're all on board with Rose today. David Saphir, previously writing, blogging with Blog for Arizona, and switched over 3 months? Is it
something
longer?
Of that nature, yeah.
About 3 months. To the Tucson Weekly. And, of course, I'm sure many of the listeners have heard that the Tucson Weekly and Inside Tucson Business have been sold by the WIC Communications Company to a another company, 1013
Communications,
which also took over the Explorer a while back and some other papers. But people are wondering, what about folks like yourself who kind of worked on a freelance basis?
Right. Well, for me, it's not a problem for me. I moved over to the Weekly. I thought it was a wonderful opportunity, but I'm always welcome back on Blog for Arizona. We left on the best of terms with a little champagne party at my house. You know, we're all very good friends, and I still email them regularly and read the blog. So for me, it would be a shame because I really like having a new audience. My concern really is two things. You talk about the freelancers, but also the people who are the full-time staff there, and also the quality of the paper. And I'll give you one example. I wrote on the blog about people opting out of testing here at TUSD and across the state and the issues on that. Well, I talked to Mari Herreras about it, and she and I talked, and she did some further investigation much better than I could. She's a journalist. I'm not a journalist. Wrote a very good piece in the Weekly and is talking about doing a follow-up. I don't know if she will or not. It depends if she gets more information. No other media that I know of in the city covered this issue, and it's a very important issue with national repercussions and with state repercussions, and it's about the Common Core, and yet it hasn't been covered. If it wasn't for the Weekly and their willingness to go outside of the box, that issue would not be covered right now.
And Inside Tucson Business, yes, it does not have a lot of circulation, but the circulation it has is very influential in the business community here. A lot of people really like, myself included, Inside Tucson Business.
Sure, right.
And our friend Mark Evans, the editor, his last day will be Wednesday. Mark just decided he just does not want to go through the whole trauma. He's been with this particular new owner before, and he just did not want to go through all this.
Right. He was at the Explorer, and I actually think he left the Explorer before the changeover, but he saw, and I write a column for the Explorer right now, and I've had no problems. I've always gotten every piece in and every word in, but I've seen the paper go for less news. I've seen the staff be cut down to the bone, and it no longer is the vibrant news organ that it used to be for that area, and I'm very concerned. And it's a shame with Mark. He's a wonderful journalist who really has a terrific voice, someone who I don't always agree with, but I like reading his stuff, whether I agree or not, and we agree on lots of things. But it's a shame that someone like him would feel that he has to leave.
Yes.
He wasn't chased out. He could have made another application for his job, but I think he figured it's literally four moves over the last few years, none of them – or not by his making, most of them, and – he just doesn't want to do that again, I guess.
Yeah, he went through as you mentioned, the Explorer, and then, of course, he was with Gannett and the Tucson Citizen. When the Citizen, the hard copy Citizen, went away, then Mark took over as head of the reincarnated TucsonCitizen.com, and than this situation.
Right,
so
because the TucsonCitizen.com folded, so
folded.
It went over here.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I feel very badly for the very good people, the journalists who've worked hard. Every one of them just, you know, does a phenomenal amount of work. I know how hard it is to put stuff together, and they do it at a much higher level than I do. And I worry about the future of good journalism in this city, because there are some people doing good work at the Star, but it doesn't cover as wide a range as other things can. And as much as I like blogs, bloggers don't so much go out and find and kind of create news stories as comment on them. They're,
or
you know,
commenting.
Kind of columnists yeah. more, occasionally running new stuff.
They're more commentators.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're commentators. David Safir is that commentator, and he is talking today with us on the Buckmaster Show. 790-2040, one of the areas, well, David's main interest on his blog site is education, and the Arizona Republic did their annual report card, David, on the just concluded legislative session. They gave some A's and gave some C's, and one of the C's they gave was a C minus to education funding. Just quote from this really quickly: education from kindergarten through college ought to be the legislature's first priority. This is the opinion of the editorial writers of the Republic. They go on, building a stronger state begins here, preparing young people to be citizens in creating a talented workforce. But lawmakers put more energy into undermining higher standards for K through 12 and handing tax money to private schools than they devoted to building public education.
Well, that is a pretty good assessment. And unfortunately, the many people in the Republican Party, and I'm going to say most in the Republican Party in elected office, really have something in for public education, or what they would call government schools. In other words, the kind of public education most of us grew up with, and are for privatization and dismantling. And they, because of that, they don't put a priority on education funding. And I've read this a couple times, a couple of Republican legislators who said, well, geez, we'd like to fund it more, but we have to fund roads and we have to fund this and have to fund that. So basically what they're saying is they're taking money that they think belongs to our children and using it for other uses. And I'm sorry, that is balancing the budget and making other priorities on the back of our children, who we as adults are supposed to be the guardians of. All of us are the guardians of all of our children, and on the backs of our future, because face it, if our children don't have education at the highest level we can give them, the future of Arizona will not be at the highest level we wish it to be.
And the Republic gave only one lower grade than the C-minus, and that was parks. Parks have just taken a huge hit in this state. Yeah. We had a couple of weeks ago, we had the gentleman that's with the nonprofit group that tries to support our local state parks. Parks have been swept year after year, the funding
for
the parks.
Yeah, a lot of things have been swept, and highways have been swept, and they've tried to sweep funds from early childhood education. And it's really a smoke and mirrors game that's being played, where they feel they have too little money, and then they're going to give more away in tax breaks over the next couple of years to businesses, or tax credits or breaks or whatever they are. And make it even worse. So when your given is we have X dollars and we're going to have less dollars than that because we're giving more away, then you're going to make terrible choices. And they are making terrible choices based on their initial choice, which is to cut back in certain areas of funding.
When we continue on the Buckmaster Show Monday edition with David Safir for the blogger for the Tucson Weekly, one of the bloggers, what does Walmart and spreading charter schools have in common? We will address that next on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and termites. Termites is serious business. I'm telling you, talk about eating your home away. They can do it. Best call ever made, five-star. Five-star termite and pest control. A great job. They leave no mess. They're economical. And guess what? They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're five-star pest control. We know what bugs you.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com, and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Folks over in Silver City are really excited, and I don't blame them. Smithsonian Magazine named Silver City the number 18 of the top 20 small towns worth a visit in 2014. In fact, it's the cover story of the April edition of the highly respected Smithsonian Magazine. They've got like nearly a million online followers to their website, so it's great publicity for Silver City. Silver City, if you haven't been over there, it's only three and a half hours east of Tucson. Lots of fun. Of course, there's hiking in the Gila Wilderness and all the art galleries in Silver City. Check it out. Places to stay like Faywood Hot Springs, Georgetown Cabins, and Gila Hot Springs Ranch. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for more information. David Safir is with us for his monthly visit. David is blogging on the Tucson Weekly, their segment, what they call The Range. David, this thing about New York Times with their article about Walmart, the people that own Walmart, spending a fortune spreading the gospel of charter schools.
Well, it's charter schools, and it's school vouchers, and it's the whole education privatization movement. The Waltons are something. I don't know how many people know. Everybody knows Walmart, mm-hmm. and it was founded by Sam Walton. Mm-hmm. Well, his heirs, the Walton family, number in the Forbes 400 richest people in America, four of them are in the top 10. Ooh. Not separately.
Whoa.
I mean, not together, but individually. The two Koch brothers are right below them. Then come them. And after that is, I think, Michael Bloomberg. But they've got a phenomenal amount of money. And they give about $300 million away in grants from their foundation. Of that, excuse me, in the last year, $164 million of that went for what they call systemic K-12 education reform grants. If you take that phrase apart, what that means is things that are saying public district schools bad, charters, vouchers good. And that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but not by much.
Speaking of charter schools, BASIS here in Tucson and Phoenix scored very well in the U.S. News and World Report high school rankings. The BASIS in Tucson and the BASIS in Scottsdale both in the top 10.
Correct.
And then University High School, also one of the top 10 schools in the country.
Right. Well, it's an interesting story. And when it was in the Star, I've researched that. And I've looked at the U.S. News and World Report's ratings. And I've also looked at BASIS and at University pretty carefully, University High. And there's just all kinds – you know, when you tease that story out, there are all kinds of things you learn. One thing, for instance, is that a district school – can do everything that a charter school can do because University High School, which is just a TUSD school, or not just, we'll have to get back to how people get in there, scored, I think, number 7 in the nation, and BASIS Tucson scored number 5. So it's not like there's something magic about charter schools. And I want to disabuse people of that because they think charters are naturally better. No, a good school is a good school, and that's the way it goes. Matter of fact, if you look at those rankings and you pull out just the Arizona high schools from that ranking, in the top 10, 5 are district schools, 5 are charter schools. So you get the sense that either of them can do it. And by the way, Catalina Foothills is amongst that top 10 as well. So we've got at least 3 and maybe more than that, but at least 3 schools among the top 10. Vail may be in there as well. I can't
remember. Top 10 for Arizona.
For Arizona, correct.
But when you look at the top 10 nationwide, University High is there, and BASIS Tucson.
And so
that's pretty impressive.
It is impressive, but and here's the big
the
big caveat on that. You've got to know how U.S. News and Report scores it. What they do basically after they get rid of some schools that don't qualify based on them not doing well enough with low income and minority students, once they get those out of the way, they say, so how's your school doing in terms of AP classes, which are the advanced placement classes, or at other schools, IB, which is the International Baccalaureate classes. And we're going to rate you solely on the number of seniors you have and how many they and other people take the AP or the IB classes and how they do on the tests and things of that nature. Well, if you've got University High School to start at TUSD, that is a test-in school. They get the best and the brightest who want to apply there. And if you don't score high enough, you simply don't go to University High School. Naturally, those kids are going to be good, and they've got a good staff there, and they've got a good curriculum and a lot of AP classes. So you take that and you factor that all in. They're just made for the U.S. News and World Report study. The same with BASIS. BASIS, you don't test in, but it has a number of ways that it selects students. And by the time you get down to the senior class, which is between a half and a third the size of the fifth and sixth grade classes, they have the creme de la creme left in that class. And they're smaller than the other classes. When they first won, I think first place, there were only 18 or 20 seniors. So because of that, they also are ready-made to score very high on this. I will never say that BASIS doesn't do a good job, because I think they do a good job within their basic mission. But their mission isn't to educate all students. Their mission is to find a fine crop of capable and motivated students, load them with lots of work, really give them lots and lots of serious work, give them Latin in the fifth and sixth grade, give them physics when they're middle schoolers, and have them excel. But the only ones who are excelling are people who are made for that kind of curriculum.
So it really, as they say in sports, the matchup is really good for both those schools.
Oh, absolutely.
With the U.S. News and World Report rankings.
Absolutely.
You met with the head of BASIS.
Well, that's interesting. I mentioned that to you this morning. I sat down, and I'm going to try to pronounce her name right, Julia Tafes. I think that's how you pronounce her last name. Forgive me if I got it wrong. Because she was upset about my article. She felt that I didn't I wasn't fair to BASIS because I harped on the selectivity part of it that I just mentioned too much, and she feels that that doesn't tell the story well. Well, she gave me lots of facts and figures. She's a very bright woman, very assertive and knows what she's doing, and gave me lots of facts and figures, but I differed with her on the interpretation of them, and I think that when we left it kind of a standoff. She believed they meant one thing. I believe they meant something else. So I gave her an offer, and I really think she's going to take it, and I hope she does. I said, listen, if you want to write something on the range, all I'll do, I won't edit it, I won't comment on it, all I'll do is introduce you so people know who you are and mm-hmm. where you're coming from. Tell your story. Tell your statistics your way so you don't have to get that interpreted through me. And I'll write other posts about this, but this is your moment. And I think she's going to do it. You know, she's like me. She's an old English major. She has a master's in English. So the woman can write. You know, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, so it looks like she's going to take you up on your offer.
I hope so. She said she would.
Okay, David Safir, we'll look for your blogs on the range in the Tucson Weekly. And David, I hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thank you very much. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Coming up tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe right here on AM 1030 KVOI. Then the new talk show that we have here is the Daily Double. That comes up from 8 to 9 with Christy Simone. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Back with you at 12:04 tomorrow.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.